Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to the Autism Detectives. This is Patricia Lemmer, the author of Outsmarting Autism, and my guest today is Cindy Goldadi. How are you, Cindy?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Cindy's up in Minnesota. Any snow yet up there?
No, but it's awfully cold feeling today outside.
Is it? So Cindy is, I know her from the brain gym world. She calls herself a homeschool mom who inspires others to look at learning differently. So you're wearing several hats, aren't you, Cindy? Tell us about your background and how you got doing what you're doing.
Well, I started straight out of high school. I went and got my bachelor's degree in early childhood and elementary education. And I went straight from that for my master's degree in Montessori education. I opened a Montessori school and ran it for 10 years. And during that time, I was introduced to the Brain Gym program. And I went and took one course because I had a couple of children that were puzzling me, and that course led to another course, and pretty soon I was teaching
hooked.
This wonderful Brain Gym program.
So explain to our listeners what Brain Gym is. It's such an interesting combination of words.
It really is, and Brain Gym is a program that looks at the physical skills of learning, and so instead of going right up into the brain and trying to see what we can't see, we're looking at the body and the muscles and the coordination and the way that the body is interacting with the environment. And then we have intentional movements that support learning, focus, communication, comprehension, and organization.
So it's very compatible with a Montessori experiential hands-on learning, isn't it?
Yes, but it really spoke to me when I took that first class and saw that we were looking at the senses and looking at multisensory experiences and looking at choice and freedom of choice and how to support one's ability to choose if they're not able to, if they're overwhelmed in an environment.
So how can we apply these principles to kids with special needs, especially those with autism?
To me, I think it's very similar to applying it to any human being, that it's looking at what is the person presenting to us right at this moment. So we're using our observation skills, and then we're making an educated guess on what would be the next most appropriate thing for them to experience. And so if they're struggling with the environment that it's too stimulating for them, perhaps we want to narrow that environment down, narrow down their choices so that we're allowing them to find a yes in their world.
Okay. So in this COVID times when kids are stuck inside at home on the computer doing Zoom classes, this is pretty challenging. So how would you integrate your Brain Gym into their day?
What I started doing in March when we had our beginning lockdowns, as I offered some movement meetups online on YouTube and on Facebook to encourage parents and introduce parents to simple movements to support us with our screen time, because the screen time isn't going away. So how can we support our physiology and our muscles and our our body, our eyes, all of these parts that are feeling the strain of being on the screen. So simple movements or simple activities like turn your eyes and look outside, look away from the screen.
Uh-huh.
For most teachers, they don't demand that you are looking at the screen the whole time. They want your attention, however you're able to give that attention.
So what's a movement meetup? And are you still doing these?
I stopped doing them in May, but I just put a note out last week asking people if they would like them to resume now that school has resumed. And so I may start them again. I was just offering one 15-minute meetup on Fridays in the morning my time in Central Daylight Time. Mm-hmm. And it was just 15 minutes. So it was a way to take a break and experience different physical movements. So some days we just basically skipped in place. Some days we did some activities to relax our back if we're having sat in a chair for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of activities to relax our visual system and to relax our eyes, because that looking at a screen can be very stressful on our whole body, but it starts with our eyes.
Now, Cindy, you and I met at a brain gym workshop, didn't we? I'm trying to remember where it was. It was an international conference, and I learned the beauty of brain gym through my friend Mary Rentschler, who I know you know too.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw how it helped her on the tennis court and how it helped kids who were having focusing and behavioral issues. So can you tell our listeners about PACE and what PACE is?
Yes, I'm sure when you were at that international conference that you probably heard PACE in one or more of the workshops you attended. So PACE is a basic warm-up for learning. So it's a way to get ourselves positive, active, clear, and energetic. So PACE is just an acronym for those four adjectives.
And
it's really four
simple activities. It doesn't take very long.
It takes like 2 minutes, yeah. The first activity is sipping water, and that's it.
Period. Okay, and why do we need water?
Well, water helps to hydrate us, and so for in our acronym of positive, active, clear, and energetic, it's for the energy piece, just to help give us energy. So I use sipping water if I'm having a challenge focusing on an assignment on the computer. So
okay.
If I'm trying to write an article or write a Facebook post, I will have a sip of water just to help my energy to
change. And what's the second one?
The second one is to get us clear in our thoughts, and that activity is called brain buttons, and it involves holding onto the belly button, so putting one hand over the navel, which is our gravitational center. And so if we talk about children, especially those with autism, as being uncentered or maybe kind of scattered,
mm-hmm.
holding the belly button can be really important for them. And then the other hand is right under the collarbone on either side of the sternum. And so I kind of think of it as a capital T. Your sternum is the vertical line and your collarbone's the horizontal. And you're right in the right angles of that.
Cool.
Yeah, and then
the
you
third.
Just start breathing and move your eyes back and forth as if you're reading a book. So we're bringing the visual system into this brain mm-hmm. buttons activity.
That's great. And next?
And then to get active, so brain buttons, we have our thumb is on one side of the midline and our fingers are on the other side of the midline with that capital T. And so with the third one, to get active, we are going to cross the midline by doing an activity called the cross crawl. And we lift up one leg and our opposite arm and we bring them together. And then
uh-huh.
we switch and lift up the other leg and the other arm. So it's really like going for a brisk walk where you're swinging your arms and your legs are moving at the same time.
And you're crossing the midline of the body and integrating the two sides.
Right.
And is that the end of the third, and then there's one more?
Right. So then the fourth one, after we've gotten our energy through some water, we've gotten clearer in our thoughts and in our physical organization, and then we're crossing that midline for our coordination and our activity, we want to end by getting positive. And for this activity, we rest on the midline. So after crossing the midline, now we rest on it, and we do that by crossing our ankles, and then we put our thumbs facing down so our palms are facing out. We cross our hands, clasp them together, and draw them down and up so they're resting against our chest, right on the midline.
So you look like a pretzel.
Breathe nice and deep, and just feel any emotional stress dissipate and move on.
This sounds like something everybody should do before they start their day.
It is a wonderful way to begin the day or to deal with transitions. So we know a lot of those that have autism struggle with transitions and moving from one point to another, whether it's subject matter or physical environments. And PACE can be a wonderful transition tool.
Now, Cindy, you described these so beautifully. Is there somewhere that people can see the pictures of this and get the instructions?
Yes. There is the Brain Gym International website, which would be braingym.org. But there's also, I have put a couple of videos on YouTube under my channel, which is just called Cindy Goldaddy. And then on my website, on my blog, I have written an article. And I think if you just go into the search bar on my webpage and type in PACE, P-A-C-E, it will pop up. And that would give you a written description as well.
Oh, good. So your website is your name. Spell your last name for us.
My YouTube channel is my name, Cindy Goldaddy, which is gold, like the opposite of silver.
Uh-huh.
So G-O-L-D, and then A-D-E at the end.
Okay.
And my website is InMotionIntelligence.com.
I love that name.
So thank you.
We want kids moving. We don't want them to sit still to pay attention, right?
Right. I was just teaching on Monday. I'm teaching three homeschool classes this fall, and the first week was this week. And I have a teenager in one of my classes who has autism. And we went outside for the day because it was 70 degrees, and we don't have many of those coming yet in the rest of this year. And so all of these teenagers were sitting at the picnic table except one, and he kept getting up and moving around. And I let him do that and didn't discipline him. And by the end of class, he was sitting down and completely engaged because he needed that freedom to move in order to focus.
Isn't that interesting? So he knew what he needed.
He knew exactly what he needed, and he was paying attention even while he paced around us. I was watching him, and his ears were always pointed at me.
So this is a form of sensory integration, isn't it?
I really think it is, but, you know, it wasn't originally marketed that way, but the Brain Gym program really helps us with having access to our senses and having access to both sides. Because we know that we often have one side that's more dominant than the other. Like, I know I'm a right-handed person, but that doesn't mean I want you to cut off my left hand. I still want access to my left hand. And it's the same with our eyes and the same with our ears and our feet, our whole body, that we want access to both. We want one to be in charge and the other one to be supporting.
Right. So would you can use this at any age, or is it just for little kids?
The beauty of this and what really drew me into it is it's for any age. So when I took my first Brain Gym class, I was a new mom with a six-month-old and a two-year-old at home and running my Montessori school for three and six-year-olds. But I was finding this was helping me. I was letting go of all my anxiety of being a new mom and my lack of sleep and wondering why they weren't following what the parenting book said.
Mm-hmm.
And so this really helped me as an adult, and since I've learned this work, I've used it with my grandma on her deathbed just to help her find peace and comfort. I've used this with my parents, my own children who are now 21, 19, and 15.
Oh, my goodness.
So this has been, it is used with all ages. And, in fact, just a quick story. When my third child was born, I knew Brain Gym, and we used this with her within her first hour of life, that she was born under duress with a lot of stress, and I couldn't even move, and my husband was holding her, and he's a big, burly construction guy holding this little five-pound preemie, and he did all these different activities with her to calm her the nervous system down.
Wonderful.
And it was just beautiful to watch.
So with Zoom and with the world becoming smaller with the internet, you can really do this with people all over the world.
Yes, 2020 for a lot of people has been a very challenging year, and for me, I have been teaching more than I have ever taught in my life in 2020.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's so exciting. I have taught people from over 20 countries, from every continent, and to be able to see how we're the same around the world is really a powerful experience.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And I love the name of your company, In Motion Intelligence, because it kind of honors the body's ability to know what it needs and to use movement.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think, you know, in the Brain Gym program, we have five basic principles, and these principles are the foundation of every course within the program. And the first principle is noticing and observing that intelligence is inborn. And
mm-hmm.
we all are born with intelligence. It's just that we have multiple intelligences in the world. So
right.
my intelligence may not look exactly like someone else's intelligence.
Right. And what are the other four?
The other four principles are about focus, and so knowing that our attention follows our intention. And that's really important when we're working on helping children and helping anyone decide where they want to put their attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third is to notice, and that's that observation piece that I want to empower children to notice themselves. And the best way to do that, or one way to do that, is to verbalize it for them if they're not able to notice it themselves at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
So to me, the noticing is huge. That's very related to Montessori, which is all about observation, and those are just interchangeable words.
And then there's two more?
Yep. The fourth is moving to learn, and that is all about knowing that from a growth mindset, growth is a search for balance, and imbalance is a search for growth. And I think this relates to those with challenges, that I don't look at their imbalance as something negative. Rather, I look at it as they're seeking out growth, and can I help them find that next growth opportunity?
Amazing. And the last one?
The last one is interconnection, that we're each affected by every other. So that young man that was in my class this week, the fact that no one else was annoyed with him for moving around, that affected him. That helped him to then join us. And to be engaged instead of turning on his, putting up his walls and going into defense.
Mm-hmm. And so these five principles sort of guide you in knowing what someone needs, where to start.
Yes. Yep.
And so someone with autism, we would look at what they are seeking with their behaviors.
Mm-hmm. So it's right, it's all that observation piece that if someone is coming into me for a one-on-one session and they are crawling in mom's lap and afraid of me, they're showing me that they don't feel safe because I'm a stranger, or they don't
right.
feel safe because my office is in my husband's construction shop and they can smell grease and oil, so maybe
mm-hmm.
their sense of smell is overdone, or there's a lot of loud trucks driving by.
Uh-huh.
So I'm able to observe their behavior and then invite them into some activities to change that.
Cindy, there's so many other Brain Gym activities. I was always impressed with how innovative Brain Gym is in looking at what someone needs and how to integrate the different aspects of the brain and the body. You can tell us a little bit about some of them. How many are there? There are about 20 something?
Right. In the basic Brain Gym program, there's 26 movements. And
mm-hmm.
then we have other courses that have additional movements. So in our Vision Gym program, there's, I think, 34 movements. We have courses related to reflexes, there's just such a broad array, but in that first group of brain gym activities, there's 26, and they're divided into four categories.
And are those the same categories that some of the, that you just talked about, or they're for different purposes?
They're very similar. The one category we haven't really experienced anything or talked about yet would be the lengthening activities. And if you just think of the word lengthening, you can probably guess what these are about. So the lengthening activities are going to work on the big muscle groups of the body. So if you think of your legs and the back of your legs, those hamstrings, how can we bring some activity into that part of the body? We'll also do activities for the low back, the iliopsoas muscle system, which connects the top and bottom inner thigh area. And then we do a number of things for the upper back and the shoulders and the neck.
So is it like physical therapy or not so strenuous?
I would say it's not so strenuous because any one of these activities are usually only done for 30 seconds to a couple of minutes, depending on your own desire and need for them.
And how does this affect the brain?
That is one of my favorite questions to ask my adult learners. And so I like to introduce them to an activity and at the beginning invite them to notice their body and maybe their level of focus, and then to have them do the activity and ask them to notice the same thing again. And then they'll tell me, wow, I feel more alert, or I feel more energized, or I'm able to really read this paragraph, where maybe they tried reading it at the beginning and they didn't comprehend anything.
Uh-huh.
And then they read it after stretching out their legs and suddenly it makes more sense to them.
So the legs are attached to your reading skills.
Isn't that fascinating?
So interesting.
Right, to think of the back of the body, the back of your legs, and its relationship to comprehension and communication.
So, Cindy, we're going to take a little break here, and when we come back, maybe you can go into a little more depth on some of these lengthening and vision activities. You know, vision is one of my favorite subjects. So,
All right, sounds great.
You're listening to the Autism Detectives. And this is Patricia Lemmer with my guest, Cindy Goldaddy, and we'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Lemmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff, the Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome Welcome back to the Autism Detectives. This is Patricia Limmer, and my guest today is Cindy Goldaddy. Cindy is telling us about Brain Gym and how being in motion taps into our innate intelligence and how so many of these activities help integrate us and get us listening better and focusing better. Cindy, you told us about pace, and how does that fit in then with some of the behaviors we might see with our kids with autism?
When I think of pace and that, what those four adjectives are to get positive, active, clear, and energetic, and when I think of those with autism, I think that the pace process, those four activities, can really help with any of those four adjectives. So we have some children that are too active, that they're bouncing all over. We have other children that are too focused on one thing and they're not able to increase their activity. Some are clear on what they want to do and some don't know how to make a choice.
Right.
And same with activity and attitude. I know a lot of children struggle with attitude and finding a yes, that it's just easier to put up their boundaries and for them to say no. And so this warm-up for learning to get in pace can really help to bring all the different elements together in one series of movements. And so it works in a classroom setting, it works in a group setting, instead of the teacher having to isolate and be so individualized, you can just tell the whole class, we're all going to benefit from pace right now.
That makes so much sense. So let's talk a little bit about vision. You know that's one of my favorite subjects. And I'm just impressed that Brain Gym knows that how important vision is, and that vision is so much more than eyesight and is so related to our intentional movements. So can you talk about that a little bit and how Brain Gym focuses on our vision?
Yeah, the vision piece, I think, is so important. You're so right that it's more than just what we physically see. It's what do our eyes do with what we see, and how do we interpret the world, and what's our perception of the world? And so some of these physical movements that we can do help on such a much deeper level. I know that I was teaching the vision course this spring during the lockdown, so it was 8 weeks long, and I think we started after the lockdown, and then we continued through all of the riots and unrest here in Minneapolis-St. Paul that was happening at the end of May and in June.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were dealing a lot with perceptions and a lot with what we were seeing in the world physically, but also how we were each interpreting what we were seeing, whether it was being quarantined in our own unique countries around the world,
right,
in our cities, or experiencing civil unrest. So it was very fascinating. And what these vision activities do is they get us out of our eyes and down into our body. So we're looking at our neck muscles, our shoulders. We're doing things with our hips and our legs and noticing how do we move through the world. Can we change directions easily, or are we stuck on a straight path? Are we flexible? Are we fluid? There's just so many elements that are related to vision.
And one of my guests a couple of weeks ago was Dr. Debbie Zielinski from Chicago, who is so attuned to this. She's an optometrist, and she looks at hip movements and neck movements and how they affect vision and are affected by faulty vision. And I know that she would be fascinated by this. She probably knows a lot about it already.
Yeah, interesting to teach a class and watch these adults experience phenomenal changes in their vision after just a couple of movements.
Amazing. Do you work with optometrists?
I do not personally work with optometrists. I do like to read articles and blogs from optometrists and look for the similarities.
And there are a lot of similarities.
Yes.
So there's a special Brain Gym component. Isn't there a course on vision?
Yes, there's a 24-hour course called Vision Circles and another 24-hour course called Creative Vision. And both of those really invite us to take our vision to a deeper level and to look at our intentions around our vision and to notice what goes on in our bodies when we're looking at things, and then to invite ourselves to make changes with our vision. Mm-hmm. And we have a number of movements that are related directly to vision.
So how about the relationship of auditory to vision? I used to have deep conversations with speech-language pathologists who didn't think that vision had anything to do with listening. And I beg to differ because it's so interconnected both physiologically and intentionally. So can you talk about how your vision work affects the auditory system and your listening skills?
Yes, it's a really fascinating concept. One of the circles that we do in Vision Circles, that's the name of the vision course, and there's 8 circles. One of them is called the resonance circle. And so resonance, you know, is all about our auditory sense. And so we actually do that 3 hours of the class in the dark, where we take away the sense of vision and we just work on our sense of sound. And there's a lot of relationships between the eyes and the ears, and it's a lot of the same things of the perception. So if you say something to me, how do I perceive that? Do I perceive that there's annoyance? Do I perceive joy? Do I perceive fear? And is my perception on track, or is it a little bit warped?
Uh-huh.
And it's the same with our eyes. What do we see, and what are we perceiving with our eyes?
But you also can see in your mind's eye, where you conceptualize and create and ideate without, even when you're blindfolded and if you're blind.
Right, that's that whole inner. So we have our external physical skill of seeing, but then we have that inner piece, and it's the same with the ears that we have, and we do activities to check physically how's our external hearing. But then also we look at our internal hearing, like our self-talk. How do we talk to ourselves, and how do we listen to ourselves?
Right. And how do we turn reading into concepts that allow us then to do creative writing?
Yeah, in the Brain Gym work, we do a technique or a process on writing and communication, and some of the pre-activities that we do just to kind of get a baseline is we see, can I think of thoughts? So can I even come up with an idea? And we check that, yes or no, and then we notice, can we now express those, and can we write those down? So can we get those thoughts from our head, from our creation of our able to see it and get it out our hand and able to express it.
That's fascinating. Cindy, it's time for another little break. And when we come back, we can talk more about Brain Gym and how it can help us in every possible aspect of living. You're listening to the Autism Detectives. We'll be right back.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes the many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back. This is Patricia Lemmer, and you're listening to The Autism Detectives. Today we're talking about Brain Gym with Cindy Goldaddy, and this is so interesting, Cindy. We've talked about how movement helps you focus better and how it decreases behavior, and we've talked mostly about academics, reading and writing. Does this help us in any way emotionally? Can it decrease anxiety or depression or make us more joyful in our learning?
I think those are really important questions. I know for me, as a middle-aged adult, I have found this to be so helpful with my emotional stability, and especially this year of 2020 with COVID, that we're all riding this roller coaster, and it seems like we never know when the next turn is coming or the next drop or the next hill that we're going to climb. And I know that I've had a phenomenal year, and I attributed it to teaching this exact work every single week on Zoom. And so I am practicing what I preach. I am actively doing this work on a regular basis, and I'm able to move through any feelings of anxiety or depression or sadness or fear of the unknown, and to acknowledge those feelings, but to be able to not get stuck in them. And so a lot of these activities in the Brain Gym program support emotional stability.
Focus a little on the emotion of fear, because I think so many people are so fearful now. And kids have become so fearful. My granddaughter won't take her mask off in school, even to eat. And she's terrified.
I think fear is very related to safety and not feeling safe. And when I'm teaching, I like to use pictures. I live out in a swamp, in a very wooded swamp, and we have a lot of turtles in our yard. And so I take pictures every year of different turtles to show what does a turtle do when it feels threatened or when it feels afraid. It withdraws and it goes
back into its shell.
Right. That's when I take my picture to show this turtle does not feel safe.
Oh, wow.
I really think that's what goes on, and we often describe that as a brainstem response that we're retrieving way to the back part of our brain.
Right.
You know, we're going back into a place of safety, and that's not where we do our best thinking or our best decision-making. And so then, you know, we end up having challenges with test-taking or with academic success, with focus.
With relationships.
Right, even with those emotional components of, you know, how do I interact with someone else? How do I hold on to a relationship?
Right. Now, in my book, Outsmarting Autism, I talk about reflexes and how important they are in movement. Does Brain Gym touch on reflex development?
Within the Brain Gym program, in the curriculum, we do have some courses that are specifically focused on the reflexes. But what we have learned over the last 30 years is that a lot of the Brain Gym movements indirectly support reflex development.
Uh-huh.
And so they weren't written or created for reflexes, but now when we look back and we've learned so much about reflexes in the last couple of decades, we can say, wow, this activity really helps with the symmetric tonic neck reflex.
Uh-huh.
Or this one that we call the owl that works on our shoulders really supports the asymmetric tonic neck reflex.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of indirect relationships.
So another chapter in my book is on lifestyle issues, and all of these are part of my total load theory, which I think you know I'm applied for a trademark for total load. And can you talk about some of our problematic lifestyle that maybe get even further ingrained in COVID, like bad eating habits, or maybe we've used this time to improve our eating habits, or not getting enough sleep, or not moving enough and taking a walk in nature? So are there things like this that you work with your clients?
Yes, I think there is so much power in your total load theory. And I know when we met and I bought your book, I was looking through it today before the interview, and I have all these notes in the margins about my own kids. And, you know, talking about allergies and about things, you know, Lyme disease and gut health and eczema. There's just so many relationships that we can look at. And then when we put COVID on top of this, that's another load on this on this theory.
And
what I've done in my teaching this year with my adult learners is encourage them, you know, go outside, go barefoot, let your feet feel the grass and feel the earth, even if it's for 30 seconds.
What a novel idea.
Right, go out and let the sun shine on your face.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be simple. It doesn't mean that you have to go do 10,000 steps in one time and walk 4 miles. It
right.
can be very short. And to do that throughout the day, and so I've been modeling that myself.
I've been following you on Facebook with your walks.
Right. I take lots of pictures out on my walks of here's my trail to the horses, or here's my walk around at the shop where I'm at right now that I have a 1 mile loop I can take.
Uh-huh. So what do you tell families about nutrition and diet and cooking and how to be more healthy?
Well, first, I'm very conscious of separating it from the Brain Gym program, and so I talk about it in terms of my own family, of here's what I've discovered, you know, that
uh-huh.
my family, my one son hit his total load at puberty, that was the one thing that broke the camel's back, and he suddenly couldn't handle any gluten. Well, he was probably allergic his whole life, because we've had him DNA tested now for celiacs, but it wasn't at the top of our priority list until puberty hit and he became very sick.
Oh, wow.
So I use my own story to talk about. I was the most critical person of gluten-free people for years and years and thought they were making it up, and then, boom, now I have a kid with an issue. And then as we cleaned up our diet for him, suddenly the middle child, his hives that he always got randomly, they went away because they were related to gluten.
Wow. Cindy, those are all part of the total load. And we got to take another break. And when we come back, maybe we can talk about some of the other total load issues that are weighing on parents' minds and how Brain Gym might be able to help. You're listening to the Autism Detectives. We'll be right back.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detectives. This is Patricia Lemmer. Today we're talking about Brain Gym and a whole bunch of other stuff with Cindy Galdaddy, a master trainer in Brain Gym and a homeschooler, and she just looks at where kids are and helps them enhance their learning. Cindy, this Brain Gym thing is so fascinating. Who can use these Brain Gym concepts? Can parents and teachers and therapists and everybody?
Yeah, it's really for everybody. I know I focus mostly with parents and early childhood educators and then teachers and therapists of all ages. But there's other people that focus on using this with seniors and elders, and others that focus in corporate America, like there's Brain Gym for Business and Brain Gym for Sales.
Oh, amazing.
So, it's really for everybody.
So for some of the early childhood people, we're looking at developmental milestones. And one of the questions that we sometimes ask and focus on is, did your child crawl? And what kind of crawling did he do? And why is crawling important? And how does it relate to learning and intentional behavior?
That is such a loaded question. Crawling is related to so many different skills that we're going to want to see children doing a few years down the road. And so, for example, when I'm crawling, when I can lift my belly up off the floor and put my weight in my shoulder girdles and on my knees with my hips over my knees, that's going to wake up a bunch of different reflexes. It's going to allow my eyes to raise off the floor and look around separate from my hands.
Uh-huh.
That's a really important skill later on when you're asking me to look at a Zoom screen and still be taking notes on the paper.
For sure.
That I'm going to want to be able to do two different things. The crawl also is all about our coordination between our left and our right. So when you said, how did you crawl? There's an army crawl where you're using your two arms and then your two
right.
legs. There's the one-sided crawl, which some call an alligator crawl, where
mm-hmm.
we're using the same side and then the other side. And then there's that cross crawl, like we did at the start of this interview,
right.
where we used one side at the bottom of our body and the opposite at the top, and then we brought them together.
Uh-huh.
And so that's the most advanced version of a crawl. And that's the one that's really going to support future academics and future learning because it's got coordination between the two sides.
And especially the art of handwriting, which isn't even taught anymore and kids aren't even using because they're using keyboards and touch screens and mice. And, oh, my God, it makes me crazy. Talk about handwriting a little bit, please.
Yeah, we have a course we call Optimal Brain Organization, and in that course we have a whole section of it on dexterity and fine motor control and how do you pick things up and what does your grasp look like?
Mm-hmm.
And are you able to use that fine motor pincer grasp or are you stuck in a power grip? And those are things that, just like you said, it drives me crazy when someone says, well, they can trace sandpaper letters on their iPad screen. Well, there's no roughness on the screen.
No.
So they're missing the tactile inputs, that you're just
sure
not
are.
Getting the same thing. And yet we can't change that at this point, that we want to figure out how to support children. And so it could be simple, you know, ways of support, like getting down on the floor and crawling around, even when they're beyond 9 months old.
Uh-huh.
To have them crawl so that their hands are open, because not many of us crawl with our fists. So to be using our different finger muscles or just massaging our fingers and our hands and, you know, pulling on them a little bit to kind of wake up those joints.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many ways to support our hands, even if we're not getting that same hand-raising activity that we wish everybody was getting.
And this is a brain integration activity, handwriting. It helps us think, and it helps us learn. And it's missing now in so many of our kids' academic experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And then that leads to the total load. Because they're stressed. Their bodies are stressed because the two sides, the top and the bottom, are not integrated. So that's when Brain Gym comes in and says, we can help that, right?
Right. We can support that development and offer tools and strategies that will help alleviate some of that stress, so we're able to come back up into our thinking part of our brain and be able to do our thinking. And so
right.
It's that whole piece of, if a child's not allowed to write or not invited to write, and then they're having to, quote, try hard, when they're,
right.
Instead of just automatically being able to think through something, in that try state, we often end up in stress or anxiety or fear of failure. All those different emotions can pop up.
Cindy, give our listeners some of your resources again, where they can find you, where they can find your YouTube channel, and more information on Brain Gym if they want to go deeper into this.
All right. My YouTube channel is my name, so it's Cindy Goldaddy, and that's GOLDADE. And my website is In Motion Intelligence, and there's a hyphen in between In Motion. And then the international website is braingym.org.
Okay, and is there an email that they can reach you at if they want you to do a workshop or a movement meetup or an individual consult?
There certainly is. They can email me at cindy@emotionintelligence.com. And I'm going to be doing a workshop for mothers of multiples in a couple of weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that should be fun. We have to do it on Zoom because of our requirements here in Minnesota, but the coordinators and myself, we're very excited. We're going to make it work.
And a multiple is two or more, huh?
Right, so it's mothers with twins or triplets or even more than
goodness.
That, I'm sure.
How interesting. And they would email you at cindy@in-motion.com.
In-motionintelligence.com.
Oh, I forgot intelligence. In-motionintelligence.com.
Yes.
And how many videos would you say you have on YouTube?
For the movement meetups, I think there was 5 on YouTube and 5 or 6 that I just did Facebook Lives on my Facebook page. And then there's some other older videos when I was just learning how to do videos, so they're not my best, but there's some other things out there.
And this is all free.
Yep, and those are offered for free, and then that's why they're very short, so they're not the whole program, because the Brain Gym class of just learning the 26 movements is 16 hours long.
Wow, and so, but practitioners and even parents who want to learn this in depth can take those courses. Are there any prerequisites?
There are no prerequisites. They're open to everyone, especially the 100-level courses.
Oh, good. Cindy, we're going to be right back. We'll take a little break, and we're going to be right back for just a one-minute summary of what you've talked about. So think about how you can jam all that into 1 minute.
Stay tuned.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic and expensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave them helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Cindy, this has been just terrific. We now know a lot about Brain Gym, enough to whet our appetite. So just tell us again how to find you. Is it in-motionintelligence.com and your YouTube channel?
My YouTube channel is my name, so Cindy Goldaddy.
Okay, that's the channel. Cindy, thank you so much. I hope to see you someday again when we come out of lockdown. And good luck to you on all these movement meetups and all the good work you're doing on Zoom. Thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.